Thank you, Pastor Obi, and I really appreciate you. As well, appreciate your wife. It's a great privilege this morning to stand before the people of God. I believe God has a word for us.
Amen.
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 See, God is a God that promises, and he always stands by his word. Whatever he says he will do, he will do, because he has the ability to fulfill his word.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Because God knew what will happen to the remnant of the nation of Israel. At the time when Joseph was raised up, God gave him a dream. A dream of a season, about a season, a time of difficulty when he will come on the stage and stand for God in order to preserve the nation of Israel. But before he got to the place where we assume authority, he went through the wilderness. He went through stages of testing or trying. God tried his heart. So this morning, I believe God has tested this house. God has brought us to a place where God is about to do something great in this nation and, you know, beyond this nation. Just as God found David, a man after his own heart, God has discovered that there will be a remnant of people that will be ready to listen, ready to obey him. And God is ready to use this remnant to bring about his purpose in this end time. And I pray that God will give us understanding as we share together the word of God this morning.
Amen.
We're looking at the theme, divine exaltation. Divine exaltation. In Isaiah chapter 2, when I'm talking about divine exaltation, I want us to look at it two ways. First, the church, and we want to concentrate on each one of us as member of the body of Christ. Isaiah chapter 2 verse 2 says, "Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, 'Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his path. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem.'" Then in Psalm 75, verses 6 and 7, it says, "For exaltation comes neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God is the judge. He puts down one and exalts another." Hallelujah. And because of our time, in the book of Esther chapter 2, you can write it down, verses 16 to 17, it talks about Esther having found favor before the king Ahasuerus. The king loved him above all other virgins, and the king set the crown on her head. And she was crowned as the next queen in the land. We're going to look at three areas this morning. Number one, but then let's pray. Father, thank you. I submit myself to you, Lord. I ask, oh God, that let your word come alive. Let your word, oh God, touch every soul, touch every heart. For your word says that river flows, and wherever that river gets to, there is life. There is healing, restoration, promotion, fruitfulness. This morning, Lord, use this vessel. Use this vessel of clay to declare your mind. Let your name be glorified. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
The first point is the task for divine exaltation. Before God exalts any man, God will put him through a school. And that school is always a time, you know, students, you know, when you're in the classroom, you listen to your lecturer, and it's a time you learn. And the time will come where you have to be tested to find out if you got it. And if you have been able to carry it, then you'll be satisfied that you have gone through that school. The school authority will issue you a certificate that you have gone through this school before you can stand anywhere with authority to declare what you have learned. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Before God exalts us, either in the body of Christ, a family, an individual, God will make you to pass through a school. School of the Holy Spirit. It's always very tough. Always very hard. We're going to look at what area. In 1 John chapter 3, verses 7 to 12, it's a long one. Everything there is talking about one word. And that word is separation. Separation. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Separation. Let's go through it, because in reading the word, power comes in. Ability to walk before him comes in. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
You know, we are going through the
Amen.
The system of the world is such that is on familiar terrace. I'll come back to the word. It's on familiar terrace to the body of Christ. What you are seeing in the world today, this morning as we're just praying in the prayer room, I saw the word. It's a picture in my spirit. What I was saying was the entire world were walking upside down. And people were smiling.
Jesus.
Upside down. And it's only those who are in Christ that were standing upright. People were driving, smiling, upside down. Flying plane, upside down. And we think everything is okay. Everything is safe. The world is upside down. It's a perilous time. It's a difficult time. It's unfamiliar terrain. We've never been here before. This kind of, you know, situation, this kind of season has never come up before. And what God is saying at a time like this is for the church, the body of Christ, you and myself, to do one thing: separate. Separate yourself. If you look into the life of people we are referring to today who have been promoted, who have been lifted up, and when they find themselves in this school before their exaltation, they have to separate themselves. Daniel, the Bible tells us in Daniel chapter 1 verse 8, will not eat the king's food. Why? Because that is going to make it to be part of the people he was amidst them, is in the midst of the people, but he need to separate himself. He saw the need to do something else other than what the people were doing. They were, you know, it wasn't a sin, but to him, it is a pollution to eat the king's meat. Because the food would have been dedicated to the gods of the land. And so he decided not to eat in order not to, do what? Pollute his life. Separation. Esther, because of time, Esther had to separate herself. You know, she came with her uncle to this foreign land, Babylon. The land of the Medes and the Persians. And while she was there with her uncle, the Bible records that a time came because God was to redeem Israel. And the remnant had been in this foreign land. And for a deliverer to come up, such an individual must go through fire. Must go through that training of the Holy Spirit, the training of God. You may not find the word God in the book of Esther, but it's inspired. Every act there was directed by God. Amen.
Amen.
She so lived her life that she separated herself. The Bible records that she was a virgin. That was number one thing that was required when the king has to take another queen in place of Vashti. The recommendation was, let's look for beautiful ladies, virgins in the land. She would have been disqualified if she has not separated herself. Not only that she was a Jew, but she separated herself and she was counted among the mother of Jesus in order to qualify, because Jesus had to come from a virgin woman, a virgin mother. She separated herself. Then she was qualified to become what? A vessel that God will use. We are treading and we are living in such a season that we've never experienced before. It's unfamiliar. Let me read instead of 1 John. I think I saw something there, you know. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 says, do what? He's talking about separation. He says, therefore, come out from among them. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will do what? I will receive you. And I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and my daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Separation. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9 says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. In other words, you have been separated. You have been put aside. You have been chosen to be among those who are peculiar people. So there's need for us today in the world we are living to live a life that is separated from the system of the world.
Yes, sir.
In order not to be consumed by the same system. We're talking about divine exaltation. Babylon had its own culture. And if you look at it today, it's talking about free lifestyle. It's talking about humanism. It's talking about, you know, no God anywhere, but we are the God. We serve ourselves. We go for our interests. We do what we want to do. If there's anything we need to serve, it's we. We are the answer. We have everything. We have the knowledge. We have the money. We have the position. That is what the world is having. And that is why we're upside down. The world is upside down. So, there's always a task for divine exaltation, either to a nation, a family, or an individual. I want to remind you this morning that there's a task for you as an individual. because you were created and crafted by God to fulfill a purpose in this season. So if we do not separate ourselves unto God, that will elude us. God forbid. You know where Joseph would have ended his journey? When Potiphar's wife law him, if he had fallen into that trap, that would have been the end of the glory. The glory. And all the dreams he'd be having right from his early age. And he's going to come to a place where everyone will be bowing to him. It's not the bowing that is the most important thing, but the call to redeem and preserve the remnant, the nation of Israel. We're in Babylon today. So, task for divine exaltation is that being in, living in an ungodly environment and terrace, be sure of one thing, you'll be tried. And you must make up your mind to be different. Even when you are mocked, even where people say, you are not like them. There's going to be persecution, there's going to be mocking, there's going to be all kinds of things. Just to make you to join them. So that's number one there on the task for divine exaltation. The second thing is that while you are in this training, while you are waiting for divine exaltation, please serve faithfully. Serve God faithfully. Serve God with all your heart. Colossians chapter 3 verse 23 says, whatever you do, do it how? Heartily, as to the Lord and not to man. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 verse 10 says that whatever your hand finds to do, you should do what? Do it with all your heart. So, you see, all the people we are making reference to oftentimes, Daniel, Joseph, David, they did one thing, serving God with all their heart. Serving God with all their strength, with all their mind. Because it is when you have passed the test or the examination of, the first grade in the elementary, only then will you be promoted to the second grade. It's when you are done with the elementary, education, only then will you be qualified to go to the middle school. And then middle school to high school to, university or college. There's no way you can just jump from the elementary and then you find yourself in the university. There are tests. So you must serve faithfully. Strive to be the best. Strive to be the best believer as God helps you. Try to be the best student, the best worker, the best business person. The best, whatever God has placed in your hand, do it as unto the Lord. See it as a ministry. You are a student? Yeah? You are there representing heaven. Stand in the position of God, God's child, and represent him well. So, there is task for divine exaltation. You can't be exalted without going through those tasks, those examinations, those trials, those hardship is not possible. Hallelujah. Somebody will say, well, I don't know why, all this thing is so tough. I don't know why I'm going through all this difficult situation with all my prayers, all my coming to church every day. I fast, I pray, I do everything. I don't know what's happening. You are going through a school. You are about to graduate, but you will not graduate until you have passed all every test available. You know what happens when the teacher is testing the students? All they have taught the students at that time, and it's time for the examination. The teacher, well, that's how we were told those days, and that's how what we went through those days, the teacher will withdraw himself. Alright? In the classroom, they give you the question you have to answer. No teacher there ready to give you an answer. It's time for your test. When you are going through your test, it's like heaven is closed. You fast and fast and fast. Nothing is happening. You're not hearing anything. You are just going, it's blank. Everything's blank, right? Don't raise your face. You cry, weep. God is looking at you. In the classroom, this is a test. You've got to pass it. Oftentimes when we fail, God is so faithful and God is so honest, righteous, He will make it to repeat. It's unlike what we have today that, well, you can carry it over to the next level. There's no carryover. For God, no carryover. You've got to pass that test or you repeat. That is why oftentimes we repeat the same thing. Alright? We repeat the same thing. What happened to the children of Israel? In the wilderness. God, we need water. Why is it that you brought us here, Moses, to kill us? We need water. God will give them water. Alright? Oh, okay. God is good. 3 days, 4 days later, we are hungry. Always complaining. There is no, Lord, thank you for the water of yesterday. We know you can do something. But we are hungry. And we know you can give us food. And so God will make them repeat. The Bible tells us, 40 days journey, they gave what? 40 years. God made sure that all of them kept repeating and repeating until the last unbeliever dropped dead. Because they never believed God. May God have mercy on us. We've seen task for divine exaltation. Let us see tests for divine exaltation. Though I went ahead of myself, but still look at it. Tests. Tests comes in various ways. You're talking about tests for divine exaltation. The Bible says in the 2 Chronicles chapter 16 verse 9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. God will try our hearts. The dealing is the heart. It's not the face. Amen?
Amen.
It's not how where we are positioning ourselves. See, we all dressed gorgeously, you know, gorgeously this morning. Well dressed. We are beautiful, handsome. But God is not looking at our makeup and all those things we put on, they are good. They are good. But God is looking at inside.
Amen.
Who is this man called Emmanuel? Inside. So the trial will often come from the heart. God sees the heart. He wants to see how we are positioned. How well are we connected with him? What is our heart saying? So, in Psalm 139, I want us to read verses 23 to 24. Psalm 139, 23 to 24. What is he saying? Says, search me, O God, and know my what? My clothing.
Know my heart.
Okay. And know my heart. Search me, O God, and know my heart. My heart. You know what God said about David? That I found a man after my what? After my whole heart. God did not address outward thing. God did not address his clothes, his family, or whatever. God says, I have found a man who is after my whole heart. In one word, look into his heart, you discover that he's carrying something that I care about. And that is why we often have to be praying and keep on praying. Lord, make my heart pure. Lord, change me from within. Lord, create a new what?
Heart.
A new heart in your God. Because oftentimes we stray. Oftentimes our heart wants something else. Oftentimes our heart deceives us. So we must go back and say, Lord, please help us. So when God tries our hearts, what is he looking at? Because he prayed here, said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me.
And know my thoughts.
And know my what? Thoughts. And that version says, and know my anxieties. What are those things that gives us sleepless nights? What are those things that when the situation comes, we've forgotten that yesterday God provided, God gave us victory. No, we testify of his goodness last week, last month. And then when this anxiety or this problem comes up, we forgot it. And then we begin to say all kinds of things. God, you remember Sister J, you remember brother so. Why me? Why is it, why is my case like this? He said, search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me. And know my thoughts. And what is it that God should know? And see if there is any what? Wicked way in me. Oh. Can a believer have wicked ways?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When we stray out, stray away from God. Anytime we disconnect, what happened? A few minutes ago, the mic wasn't working, right? What happened? There was no connection between this mic with, the control board there and then with the speakers. And why? Because the battery was dead. All right? We don't need wire. We don't need any wire to connect that. But as soon as the battery were replaced, there was a connection. And the connection was able, now my voice is being amplified, you can hear me. If I came up, you could hear the voice of Pastor Obi, because there was a connection. But as soon as there is a disconnection, you can't hear me. I may shout, somebody, the next room will not be able to hear because there's a disconnection. Oftentimes, when our heart is disconnected from God, as soon as it's disconnected, the next thing we do is wickedness. Wicked thoughts, wicked acts, wicked things, because everything in the flesh is against God. Everything in the flesh is, opposite what God wants. So, we could find ourselves doing wicked things or having wicked thoughts. So when we are disconnected, please. And that is why prayer of repentance is not something we do only once. I repented when I gave my life to Jesus. Keep on repenting.
Amen. Yes.
We must keep on repenting until we see Jesus.
Amen.
The person praying here happened to be David himself. Said, try me and know my thoughts and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm just going to mention three or four areas that God may try our hearts. Number one, God will try our heart, try to see if there is humility. Humility. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 33 says, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. And before honor is humility. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. And before honor is humility. That means submission to God, to his will, and submission to man. Somebody will say, no, me, God only. I serve God only. I'm not going to submit to anybody. Just God. I submit to God only. You have not seen God physically. Alright? If God has placed before you or above you a boss, somebody that you have to, you are answering to in your office, somebody you have to discuss with, somebody you have to take authority from in order to do or carry out some things, don't say, I'm a child of God, I submit to no man. You'll soon be fired.
Mm-hmm.
Because God placed that person there to help you. Mm. You know what I got, what I keep on understanding recently? Everything God created, every human being, born again or not born again, they are all working for my good. Hey. I know somebody.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Yes. No, you know why I don't want to submit to that person? He's not a Christian. He's not a Christian. He's not born again. So I'm not going to submit. God says submit. Submit to me and then submit to that person. Because only by doing that, you will be able to discover the mind of God. Because even that individual you might look at as a mean boss is training you one way or the other. You may not know that it's an instrument training you, pruning you, helping you to be God focused. Because the more you are tortured, the more you are, they oppress you, the more they persecute you, that will make you pray. That will make you see the face of God. Hallelujah. Sometimes we say, God, I didn't have that job. Or God, let this boss get out of this place. Better pray the will of God. Yeah. Because if I be there, that individual may be there to do what? To bring about something in your life that needs to be corrected. Jesus. It could be impatient. Mm. It could be indiscipline. Mm. Getting late to church every day, I'm one of them. All right. So God may want to correct something. So do not resist the training of the Lord. It may come in any way, believer or non-believer, anywhere. Just be open. Because God wants to bring out something better. Want to bring out the best of you inside of you. Because there's an assignment for you. Something for you to carry out in your own season, in your own time. There's going to be divine exhortation. So by the time you get to where God has prepared for you, you will not be disqualified. You will not eat up yourself. You will not destroy yourself. You will not have self-destructive attitude or character, because those things would have been burnt out in the course of all those hardship and those trainings. Humility. Do you submit to God? Do you submit to men? I submit to God. God understand. If that boss, if he's born again, I will begin to submit. No, begin to submit now, because it could be your obedience, your humility that will bring that boss to the Lord. You may have been planted in that place to be, I would call it, a living epistle for that individual to read. Humility. How humble are we? I'm not talking about the one that we fashion outside, but inside. Not like a child that the parent said, I said, sit down. Then he sat down. Then after a while, he said, you know what? I'm sitting down physically, but inside. Don't let us do like that. Not, you know, a kind of humility that is not genuine. Philippians chapter 2 verse 5 tells us about our Lord. Say, let this man be in you that was also in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Who was in the form of God. He did not count it robbery to be equal with God. But what did he do? He came himself. He humbled himself to the level of becoming man. That wasn't enough. And when he found himself to be a man, he humbled himself to become what? A servant. Washing people's feet. Running around, going everywhere, looking for the sick. Not only that, he came low again. He died a cruel death. He paid for what? He carried the sins of the entire world and he was judged wrongly. Jesus submitted to God the Father. Say, I do nothing except those things I see the Father do. And Jesus also submitted to men. You remember that story when he was 12 years old and they went to Jerusalem? You know, there's always a court, a traditional thing they go through. Every child, by the time you are 12 or 13, you must have gone through, you know, that school, rabbinic school or whatever it is, and then they graduate, they celebrate. All right? Jesus at that time had gone through all that. So they went to the to Jerusalem for the yearly feast, one of the yearly feasts, and you know the story that the parents forgot. They left him behind. All right? And then 3 days later, they discovered that Jesus was still in the temple. By the time they came back, they met him amidst, you know, elderly people, rabbis, great people in the world. And he was answering their questions.
Amen.
So one day the guy said, son, why is it that you have put us in this trouble? We've been looking for you. He said, don't you know that I have to be about my father's business?
Amen.
Read the scripture, the Bible says that, and he followed it and submitted for them. He submitted. Humility is number one. God will try your heart in humility. Do we even submit to one another? Say, we have the same age. All right? What about husband and wife? Do we submit to one another? Thank God for my wife. I bless God that over the years, this November will be 37 years old. I would just say we are still in the elementary when you come to. But I'm glad that we have to submit to one another. If you want peace in the house, yes, now some areas we have to say, okay, yeah.
Amen.
Let's go that way.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And then when you hit the rock, you know how to say, okay, let's ride it that way. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Humility is very important. Amen. Second area, God will try our hearts, is God wants to see if we truly fear Him. The fear of the Lord.
Amen.
That same Proverbs 15:33 says, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. Reverence for God. What made Joseph to say no to Potiphar's wife?
Fear of God.
Nobody there. All right. He could just do it like people used to say, young people used to say, why don't you just eat the chair and then clean your mouth? Nobody sees you. Just go to God and God will forgive you.
No.
Yeah, you could do it and God forgives you, but then that ends the assignment. Hello, somebody.
Amen.
Godly fear, reverence for God. Say, how can I do this thing? And do what? Sin.
Against God.
Against God. The one word, I am temple. That's what you are learning. The tabernacle physically is down, but the spiritual tabernacle we are carrying every day.
Yes.
How can I do this thing? And do what? And pollute sin against the living God. And make my tabernacle inhabitable for God. Reference. The fear of God. Look into the life of all the people that God used in the Bible. Fear of God. Daniel. Fear of God. David. Fear of God. Even when David fell. Alright? He tried to hide that for 1 year. You know? I was just imagining. One year, 12 months of you sleep in guilt, you wake up in guilt. Trying to keep it for 1 year until God sent a man of God, right?
Yeah.
Because of the mercy of God. And he wept bitterly. He cried to the Lord. Go and read Psalm 51. You see there. The fear of God will make you to hate you. Will make you to want to do the will of God.
Amen.
Whether you are somebody's looking at you or not. In fact, when you are not being observed, that is when you want to be there for God. Because heaven is looking at you. Amen?
Amen.
We want to be true ambassadors.
Love you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Third area. This is not exhaustive, but just pick three. The third area is obedience. God will try our heart, not only in humility, not only in godly fear or reverence of God, but also in obedience. In Esther, the book of Esther chapter 2, verse 10, we have it recorded that Esther did not disclose herself, no, disclose her identity, because she had been instructed by Mordecai not to do what? Not to disclose herself or identity that she's a Jewish lady until the right time. Not only that, she obeyed Mordecai, but she also listened to the chief eunuch when eventually they were brought to the home where they are to be taken care of. She also found favor before Haggai, the chief eunuch that takes care of these virgins being prepared and groomed for the last time for the exhortation that is coming. Every word, every statement, every advice given to her, she followed. Obedience. How obedient are we? Before God, before men, how obedient are you? How willing are you ready to go for God? If you again look into the life of Esther, you know, when Mordecai, you know, later on came to her to send her a message that, look, the entire Jews in this nation, we are under danger. There is a decree that has gone out that everyone be wiped out. So now go approach the king. Stand before the king and tell the king so that we can be spared. And Esther, you know the story. Esther said, well, these 30 days have not been summoned to come to before the king because it's not yet my turn. And I say, lay down law or rule, whoever steps into the inner chamber of the king without being invited, death is the penalty. And I've not been, summoned, invited these 30 days. Mordecai told her, go tell her, don't think you are saver. Don't think because you're in the palace, everything is well, you're okay, your life will be spared. But who knows if you have been brought to the kingdom for such a time as this? How do you want to miss your opportunity, the right time for which you have been born and you have been preserved is now. If you will not cry out now, God will raise up helper for himself. You know why? Because God is bent on preserving the Jews. So if you are not available, somebody else will be available.
Jesus.
If you are not ready to take the risk, somebody else will take the risk. When Jesus was about to be crucified and he was going into Jerusalem and the triumphant entry, and then people were singing Hosanna to the Son of David and Hosanna to him that cometh in the name of the Lord, and they tried to quiet the people that were singing because to them this song is not meant for this kind of person. We know him. We knew everything about him, his background, his brothers, his sister. This song is meant for Messiah. It's meant for, Yeshua and Mashiach. But this one was born at our backyard. Jesus said, you know what? If you know what the heaven is doing right now, if you stop these people, or these people stop singing at this time, because this is the season, this is the hour, if they stop singing, if they stop doing what heaven is doing now, automatically stones will rise. They will not be replaced with stones. In the name of Jesus. Obedience is very important. I want to quickly rush through this and then take the last point. Three people that couldn't make it because of one thing or the other. They failed the test. Number one was King Saul. He failed the test of obedience. He always King Saul always have an excuse for not doing the will of God. You always have an excuse for not killing all the Amalekites. He has an excuse for not waiting till the end of the seventh day before jumping into the office of a priest to offer sacrifice. Because I saw the people scattering, and I don't want them to scatter. You know, it looks as if they are not with me. So that, you know, I have to force myself into that office so that I will keep them to myself. And then you delay your coming. What an excuse. What was the word that was sent, was given to him? Obedience is better than sacrifice. You want sacrifice? Okay, go ahead, doing that. But what God wants is obedience. Right. Gehazi failed the test of Mammon. Gehazi, you know? He would have taken over from Elisha. Elisha had double portion from Elijah. If you are praying for double portion of the anointing over Elisha, he would have gotten it, but he was eaten up by the love of mammon. Love for
money,
material things, and that hence his ministry. I will know how Saul ended. 40 years of ruling doesn't mean how the 40 years was okay. It's always full of disobedience. The last person is the Judas. He failed the test of loyalty. He tried to prove that I am loyal to Jesus and loyal outwardly. He had told the people, whoever I kiss, that is the person. And he came out, you know, right in the garden, kissed Jesus, betrayed his master. Disobedience. Let's watch it. So, there is task for divine exaltation. There is test for divine exaltation. And lastly, there is time for divine exaltation. There is time. I sense in my spirit that we are in the season of divine exaltation.
Amen.
God is lifting Mount Zion to the level to bring about the purpose of God in this end time. To declare the mind of God to the nations that this is what the Lord is doing.
Right.
This is the purpose and the plan of God.
Hallelujah.
The purpose of the church is not just to gather together, sing, clap our hands, and do all the rituals. You know, you know what is done in the churches. But what God wants is his own heart. He wants us to want the church, when I say church, not just Mount Zion, the body of Christ, to bring God, the Lord, honor him, put him where he belongs. And as we lift him up in worship, in honor, he will draw nations to himself.
Amen.
But because oftentimes our eyes are not focused on the Lord, it's focused on something else. And if we are not looking up, the temptation to look around is there, and the temptation to look down is there.
Yeah.
When you look around, you see men like yourself. With all our inadequacies. And what happens? When we see ourselves, we kick ourselves, right? Hardly a lot of stones. He's looking at me that way. I'm going to stone that person. This one yesterday did this. I'm going to stone her. So we carry a lot of stones. We judge. We do this. Flesh. Okay? When we look around, we see human being. When we look down, we see dejection, frustration. Because there's nothing right here. But when we look up, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. From where cometh my help? My help comes from the Lord. Who do what? Who made the heavens and the earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 40 verse 4 says, every valley shall be filled.
Amen.
And every mountain and hill shall be brought low.
Amen.
And all the crooked ways shall become straight.
Amen.
And rough places plain.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. See, that is what is called divine timing.
Amen.
I believe we are so blessed. Every one of us, we are so blessed that we're born at the time that we can fit in into a time like this. A time like this. Hallelujah. So you are born to fulfill the purpose of God. I also want you to look at it as individual. This is the time. This is the time for God to lift you. It doesn't matter what you have gone through, from what you have had. You have to go through them. You have to be tested to know the kind of heart you have. Whether you serve God or not. Just as the children of Israel went through. So, this is the moment God wants to lift you up. This is the moment God wants to introduce you. This is the moment God wants to do the unusual in you, your family. And I want you to be expected. I want you to just know, be ready and key yourself into it. When you're talking about divine timing, we don't know the time, but God knows the time. But you can see, you can begin to experience that what you are seeing, what you are experiencing, what you are looking at spiritually is telling us that the time is right. And that's what we keep on hearing in this house, right? This is the time. Don't miss it. Heaven's agenda is paramount. Amen. And so, if you are privileged to have been born again and to have find yourself where you are right now, I want you to know that God wanted to stand for him or her. There are Hamans plotting evil, yes, but there are Mordecais.
Amen.
And the Jews with Esther standing for the heavenly agenda. Be one of them.
Amen.
Be one of them. We have Vashti, who failed the test of obedience and humility, and she was replaced. God is bringing to a place where somebody else, you know, it could be at your job, it could be anywhere, but God is bringing to a place where there have been failure in the past, where there have been disobedience in the past, because when King Saul left the throne, the very day, we've had that, the very day God said, I have found a man after my own heart.
Amen.
That was the end of the kingship of King Saul. Israel, the remnant, need to be preserved during the coming worldwide famine under Pharaoh's reign. So Joseph was found by God. The time we are in, that I saw when we're praying, the world upside down, you see trees, everything upside down, people are walking like that, and they're happy, and they think that is all. That is the right thing. It is upside down life. God wants us to live for him.
Amen.
This is the time for favor. Your favor. Everybody say favor.
Favor.
Everybody say favor.
Favor.
Everybody say exhortation.
Exhortation.
This is your time of all round exhortation. Spiritual anointing of God is coming upon you in such a way that you never experienced before.
Yes.
We are in the season where you begin to see children. Don't be surprised when you begin to see children lay hands on people and they are healing themselves.
Amen.
When you stand behind the pulpit and begin to preach, I'm not saying only pulpit here. It can be in their schools, it can be anywhere. They declare the mind of God.
Amen.
Don't be surprised.
Jesus.
Because the anointing of the
Jesus.
Lord is coming up.
Amen.
On the house.
Amen.
In the family.
Amen.
And we are experiencing that in my family. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Physically, God wants to lift you up.
Amen.
I don't know what area you have been having the kind of test or trial. It could be your education, it could be business, it could be change of status, it could be your marriage, it could be anything. You're about to burst into a new season.
Amen.
A new season of God, you know, doing something uniquely through you and by you. Because he has favored you.
Amen.
It could be financial, whatever it is. Well, I don't know if my wife wants to share. Want me to share this? It's not a. Well, it's a foretaste. You know, when you see harvest coming, it doesn't come in big. You know, maybe the first ripe corn or ready corn is a signal that you are going to harvest trillions of tons of grains. Okay? All right? She has been praying and we've been praying, Lord, increase our small business, increase our small business.
Amen.
During this tabernacle, all right? During this tabernacle that just ended, our family business was, she's the managing director. That business was given a permit. We can now ship by air. We'll be given that permission. We now have that, you know, that license. We can ship goods to Africa, to any part of the world. We can go there. We're about to make more, you know. So, yeah, during this tabernacle, that happened. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And also discovered that the little thing that was coming in, because we still putting something in, is not something. I'm not promoting our business here. It's a testimony. Alright? So, the little thing that was coming in, we just discovered that God has tripled it.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So, and what you are still doing is, okay, whatever comes in, roll it back there. Whatever comes, but I keep on prophesying, the time is coming. What you are seeing now is going to be times 1,000. Per day.
Amen.
I'm saying that to everybody financially. You are not going to be able to go out to fall.
Amen.
Amen. God is going to favor you.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
All right, I've used all my time, but I want us to pray. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I want us to pray. We have seen three things that is task for divine exhortation. You'll be given some things to do, and God will be waiting. Let's see. Will he do it right? Do it well? Will he or she be prompt in doing it? That is tests for divine exhortation. God will try your heart. Your humility, God-fearing spirit, if you have reverence for God, and obedience. And of course, that is time. Time for divine exhortation. The time we don't know, but we can say all that we are seeing, all that is happening around us, all that God has started since, even before the tabernacle began, God has been showing us some signs, right? We keep hearing it, the man of God keep declaring it, and if you came to it, you would have sensed in your spirit that this is not the usual season. This is a new time, a new season. Miracles will begin to happen. Miracles will begin to happen.
Amen.
God begin to open doors for you.
Amen.
Anointing will rest upon you.
Amen.
People will call you to minister to them.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah. And financially, God also wants to bless you. I believe one thing. I believe God wants you to make this small. Well, look at the number. We say we are small, right? God wants to explode this number. Not only that, God wants to raise some unique people.
Amen.
You are unique. How many people are unique here?
Amen.
God wants to raise unique people to a level where you can control money.
Amen.
You will control money.
Amen.
Not just hundreds, not just thousands, not just, you know, millions. God wants to bring us to that level.
Amen.
So that if God is the owner of heaven and the earth, and we belong to him,
amen,
then it will bring us to the secret place.
Jesus.
Of what? Of wealth.
Yes.
He will also give us the power to make wealth.
Amen.
Not in sorrow.
Amen.
I want us to rise, please. I want to read two passages, and we are going to pray into it. And I want to pray like never before. Like never before. The first one is Isaiah chapter 43. You can open your Bible because I want to pray from it. Isaiah chapter 43, verses 18 and 19. Isaiah 43, 18 and 19. Let me start from 17. Who brings forth the shout and horse, the army and the power? They shall lie down together, they shall not rise. They are extinguished, they are quenched like a wick. Verse 18. Do not remember the former things.
Amen.
Those hard times, those difficult times, I prayed and fasted, nothing happened. failures everywhere. Don't remember all those things. But there are some good things you have to remember also, that God parted the Red Sea for the children of Israel to pass through. But those negative things that often weigh you down, weigh us down, do not remember. Why? God is saying, do not consider the things of old. Why? Behold, I will do a new thing.
Amen.
Now it shall spring forth.
Yes, amen.
Shall you not know it?
Amen.
I will even make a road in the wilderness,
amen,
and rivers in the desert.
Amen.
A road in the wilderness. I don't know if I know we can Google wilderness and see what it looks like, but the time I saw wilderness proper, the kind of wilderness the children of Israel went through. So when I went to Israel many, many years ago, when you say wilderness, they are, the topography is so rough. There are valleys off with kinds of sharp stones and everything, then mountains, and you can't easily walk. In fact, oftentimes the kind of tiny road they make around it, they must have walked and walked to beat, you know, those roads out of those rocks. It's not easy to travel. But God is saying, I am going to make a road where there have not been any road. You met roadblocks, I don't know, in your spiritual life, in your financial life, in your family life, in your social life, in your educational life. Whatever roadblocks you have met, God is saying, don't remember the former things. I am doing something new. I will make a road in your wilderness. And I will cause rivers to flow in the desert. What are we hearing? And what have we heard? Even in Tabernacle, we are hearing it again and again. It's Ezekiel 47. The rivers, that river, wherever it goes, there is life.
Yeah.
There is life. Wherever there have been deadness, wherever there have been end of life, wherever there have been shocking experiences, God, river is flowing. Said, there shall be river where? In your desert. And because the river carries life, and whatever it touch, that river touch, life comes up.
Amen.
Life will come up. In your life, in your family, in everything that concerns you. We are going to pray it in now. So I want us to get prepared. So we are going to pray it and declare it. But one more scripture before we do that. If you have time, you know, when you get to, you can read Isaiah 48, verses 6 and 7. Isaiah 48, 6 and 7. You can read the entire thing, but let me just make a quote there, and we are going to pray it. I made you hear new things, and you did not know them. Isaiah 48. That's what we are going to pray this morning. Discernment. Discernment. It says, you have heard all this, and will you not declare it? I have made you hear new things from this time, even hidden things, and you did not know them. They are created now and not from the beginning. God is creating something now, new things now. And before this day, you have not heard them, lest you say, of course I knew them. I want to pray this morning. I say, Lord, thank you for your, you are God of new things. Thank you for your God of new things. Give me, Lord, the discerning heart, the divine ability to be able to know, to see what you are doing now. Not only to know it, to see it, but to experience it. The road in my wilderness, the rivers in my desert. You pray that into your life, you pray that to your family. We're going to pray it in the church. God is doing something great in Mosaic. So open your mouth and pray like never before. I say, Lord, this is my season. Lord, open my eyes. Give me that discerning ability. Lord God Almighty, to know, to see, and experience. Lord, the road that is being made by your spirit into every wilderness. My spiritual wilderness. My social wilderness. My family wilderness. My health wilderness. My financial wilderness. Open my eyes, Lord, that I'll be able to see that you are making that road. Lord, not only to see it, but also got to experience it. I will walk in that road. Lord God Almighty is a road to fulfillment. It's a road to exaltation. It's a road to represent you here on earth. It's a road, oh God, to bring about the very purpose, the destiny that you meant for me. Lord God Almighty, make me, oh God, help me to be discerning. Help me, oh God, to be discerning. Help me, oh God, Father, not to fail the test. Help me, Lord, not to fail the test. Help me, oh God, to be discerning that this is the season. This is the moment. I must not miss it. I must not miss it. This is my season. Oh, mighty God. Open up, oh God, my inner man. Open up, oh God, the inner resources in me. In the name of Jesus. Have you got to understand? Thank you, Jehovah God. Thank you, King of Kings. Thank you, Lord of Lords. Thank you, Ancient of Days. Lord God Almighty. Cause, oh God, the river to flow in my desert. The river to flow to my desert. Every desert in my life. Every desert that lacks fire, lacks water, everything, oh God, that's supposed to have sprung up, those things that's supposed to have sprout, those things that's supposed to have germinated, those things that's supposed to have been fruitful, oh, that's supposed to have bring out life and beauty, but because there was no water, they remain dry, they remain lifeless. But now, Lord, you cause your rivers to flow in my desert. You cause your river to flow in my desert. Everything that has been dead, that needs to be alive. Every seed that needs to be, that you have created, that needs to germinate, that needs to bring out, oh God, fruits, fruit of righteousness, fruit of Lord God Almighty, of abundance, Jehovah God. Let the river flow. Let the river flow. Let it flow into my spirit, man. Oh, maybe you are dry spiritually. Oh, you have not experienced and you have not tested of that heavenly touch. You have not been baptized by the Holy Ghost, or you have not even saved. This is the moment. God says, I will cause rivers to flow in your dry places. Oh, that river will flow. And if that river flow into your dry place, into your dry places, your heart first, because God wants to try your heart. When you accept Him as your Lord and Savior, then the water flows into you. The water will give you life. And that water is talking about life from the presence of the Lord. You will never be dry again. You will never remain the same again. There will be transformation. There will be, oh yes, a turnaround. In the mighty name of Jesus, Mareketi Baba, Lord, cause your river to flow in my desert. Cause your river to flow in my desert. Oh, thank you, Jehovah God. Blessed be the name of God. He that tasks, oh, Jesus said, let him come unto me. Whoever believes in me according to the scripture, out of his innermost heart shall flow rivers of living water. Oh, this very moment, pray and say, Lord, let that river flow from my innermost heart. If you have not yet born again, this is the moment. I say, Lord Jesus, I've been seen and have mercy upon me. If you have been born again and you have not yet been filled with the Holy Ghost, pray at this time. I say, Lord, let the river of life, let it flow. Let it flow. Rivers of healings, let it flow. God wants to touch you this morning. Lord, because they wherever that river flows to, whatever it touches, there is life, there is healing. Oh, this morning, if you are sick in your body, this is the time to receive your healing. You can place your hand right there. Whatever that sickness is, oh, by the declaration of the word of God, there's going to be healing in your body. There will be healing in your home. There will be healing in all that concerns you. Rakatamba kebro kustandaya. Rende ketego kababa reketende. Marikandaba kembolo moshanda. Ketende kaprama kongoya sataya. Mere keteba baba. Likomba rekebari kologo sata. Lekete bobo bobo bobo. Marakatamba bababa. Lekete baba baba. Lekete moshandaya. Mama reke baba bare baba reke te. Ha ha ha. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. The key of all this is the heart. The key is the heart. I want us to pray and say, Lord, please, Lord, try my heart. And help me, O God. Father, may there be no wickedness in me. May there be no disconnection, Lord, from you. Father, in any area, peradventure I was disconnected. Peradventure I disconnected myself. Peradventure, Lord, the world system. Lord, make me to swerve. Lord, I come back to my source. this morning. Hope your mother pray. I come back to my source. Lord, I'm reconnected to He who is the author of life, to He who is the God of gods, to He who is Elohim, the one and only one that is God. I'm connected this morning. Jehovah God, may my heart, oh God. Jehovah God, may oh Lord, Father pure, great Lord, and new spirit in me. The spirit that obeys, the spirit that obeys you, the spirit that fears you, the spirit that does your will. In the name of Jesus, the spirit that submits to you. Lord, create in me this very hour. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Father. Take all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Finally, I want to pray down your own exhortation. Your promotion. It's another word for exhortation. Your promotion. When it comes, Psalm 75 says it does not come from north, east, south, or anywhere. It comes from the Lord. You're going to pray this morning. Every barrier to your divine exhortation be destroyed.
Amen.
Self could be one. The devil could be another person. And the word could be another, you know, and another thing, another body that can hinder, you know, your exhortation. But I want to pray. Lord, this is my season of exhortation.
Yes,
I enter into my season of exhortation.
Yes,
and I declare, because heaven has said yes.
Yes,
let everything you have created say yes.
Yes.
And everyone that have said no in the past, let them talk, let them eat their words and begin to say yes. Every vessel that you have prepared, I don't care whether they are born again or they are not born again, they must work for your good. They must work to bring you to where God wants you to be. Look at it. Who brought Esther? Who took care of Esther? In the, you know, within the chamberlain, the courts. It was the chief eunuch, not a Christian, not a Jew. But he did what was right. He obeyed heaven. He carried out the purpose and the plan of God. Hallelujah. Look into Isaiah 45. Cyrus wasn't born again. But God raised him for the purpose in order to make declaration that it's time for Israel to go and rebuild. Open your mouth and pray. Father, from this very moment, let everything you have created, Lord, carry out, walk out for my good, for my exaltation. Open your mouth and pray, and then we'll take the Lord's Supper. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, open your mouth, and pray. I say, Lord, this is my season. Lord, this is my season. Let everything you have created, wherever they are, human, Lord God Almighty, every creation, Lord God Almighty, Christian or not Christian, whoever they are, whatever it is, use everything to bring about your purpose. Exalt your church. Lift up your church. This is the moment of God, Father, for the body of Christ to be exalted. This is the time of God, Father, that the mountains of the Lord will be lifted higher than all the other mountains. Other mountains, oh God, that will be brought down. Jehovah God, and your church, your children are lifted up. They are lifted up. Yes, Lord, in the name of Jesus, exhortation by your spirit. Oh, mighty Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Blessed be the name of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Be lifted up. Be lifted up. Oh, Lord, be lifted up. Jesus. I want to ask my wife to join me. I've been given the permission by our senior pastor to do this. Please take Holy Communion. We agree together this morning, this afternoon, that Lord, this is the season of divine exhortation. As a church, we are no more where we used to be. God is doing new things. New revelation. New connection. New positions. You are opening doors. Waters. And Lord, something unique is taking place. Every second, something unique is taking place. And so this Holy Communion we have taken this morning, we are keen into the miraculous. The portals that God has opened, the exhortation, lifting on Zion, lifting every one, every believer from where we used to be to the next level.
Amen.
It was said to John, come up either. Yes. And right from that very moment, he began to see in the Spirit. And was taken. So God is taking you, God is taking us to the next level. So as we eat this bread, don't forget, what we are saying is that we are in agreement with Jesus. He says, whenever we do this in remembrance of him. So this morning, he is in communion with us. His presence is here. His glory is here. His power is here. There is nothing he cannot do. Roadblocks are removed. Dry places. Right now, they are receiving what? Water. Do you know that in desert there are seeds, a lot of seeds. The only thing that prevents them from being seen, because there are mahogany, all kinds of things there, but because there is no water. So those seeds lie there for years. But as soon as it rains, dry places will receive what?
Water.
And all the seeds that has potentials are not able to do anything because of the absence of water. As soon as it rains, as soon as water goes, they receive strength. The power in them burst out. They spring out of the soil. And before long, you begin to see the fruits. The river is flowing. As we are eating this very moment, I want us to believe God, that God is giving you a testimony.
Amen.
You must come back and give testimony.
Amen.
You must come back and share what God has given to you.
Amen.
Revelations.
Amen.
Spiritual lifting. Breakthrough and break forth.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm going to ask my wife to pray. Take the bread.
Father, we thank you.
Thank you,
Lord. We're so grateful.
Yes,
you visited us.
Amen.
You sent us your word. We are comforted.
Yes.
You truly prove we have a Father.
Amen.
Who cares about us? Oh, we never forget us.
Amen.
Thank you, Daddy.
Amen.
Thank you, Daddy.
Amen.
Thank you for aligning us with your will and your purpose.
Amen.
Thank you for your mercy over us. You don't want us to keep this pain on. You bringing us to the end of pain, impossibility, struggling. And you said, this is what I wanted. I just want you to be obedient. I just want you to fear me. I just want you to walk in my ways. Daddy, we have received grace. As we eat this bread, we receive strength.
Amen.
We receive courage.
Amen.
We receive boldness.
Amen.
To say no to the enemy.
Amen.
To say no to every weakness.
Amen.
To say yes.
Amen.
We shall walk in your will.
Amen.
We shall be well aligned.
Amen.
With that which you wanted.
Amen.
We Glory be to your holy name. Amen. Sanctify this bread.
Amen.
Let it nourish our body.
Amen.
Let this body be to your glory.
Yes.
Help us, O God.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Eat ye of it. This is a representation of the blood of Jesus. One thing we are sure of, without the blood of Jesus, there can never be any cleansing. With the blood of Jesus, everyone's voices are silenced. Through the blood of Jesus, we have been forgiven, cleansed, and we have been pronounced not guilty. So that is the blood that speaks better things than the blood of Abel.
Yes.
He's saying, these words have been redeemed by my blood. So every voice, any accusation, anything that rises against you in judgment, Jesus is standing.
Hallelujah.
I say, Father, don't forget my blood.
Yes.
My blood covers all that. My blood cleanses all that. My blood strengthens her. My blood strengthens her.
Yes.
By my blood,
yes,
she's victorious. He is victorious.
Yes.
And by the blood of Jesus, we are healed.
Yes.
With all these stripes. Now when the stripes came upon him, blood came out. Father, thank you. We desire one thing, Lord, that you help us to walk faithfully here on earth. In obedience, in righteousness, in purity of heart. Fearing you, doing nothing but your will. So that in your kingdom, all of us, all our loved ones, and the body of Christ worldwide. Begin from us here. Father, we will eat with you in your kingdom. None of us will miss it. Thank you for healing. Thank you for spiritual healing, physical healing, financial healing, matrimonial healing, psychological healing. Think of the glory. From today, because we are no more where we were. Jesus, when they lay your body in the grave, 3 days later, they were expecting the same body in that same place. They got there, they didn't meet the body of Jesus. Oh, we laid him here. Who took his body away? No, he used to be there. It's no more there. When they laid him, he's no more there because he has been risen. And the power of God raised him. Where we were yesterday, we are no more there, Lord.
Yes.
Your power has raised us up.
Yes.
Your power has quickened us.
Oh, yes.
Your power resurrected us.
Oh, yes.
Your power gave us hope.
Yes.
And your blood is the means of approaching your throne.
Yes.
So as you bring, Lord, we are saying we are in agreement.
Amen.
That of a truth, Mount Zion.
Yes, Lord.
It's experiencing exaltation.
Yes, Father.
Lord, to reach out to. We used to be just, Cleveland. We used to be just Cleveland. Just, Cleveland City. Then it went to the state. Then to the nation. But Lord, you are saying, not just the local or the national, but Lord, even global, international, across the oceans. Thank you, Father. We receive strength.
Yes.
We receive this exaltation.
Amen.
The promotion that comes from you.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Blessed be thy name.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you, Father, for hearing us. Thank you, Lord God Almighty, for what you have done. Take all the glory.
Yes.
And we pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.